Welcome to the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast, connecting real people with expert advice to achieve a healthier lifestyle and live a more fulfilling and abundant life. Here's your host, Coach Tavia.
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this special episode of the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast. Today, I have a wonderful guest with me, Dr. Irene Luke. Hello, Irene. How are you? welcome and thank you for being here today. You guys, I always say this, you know, I always like to bring you guys the best of the best. And Dr. Irene is pretty magnificent. And she's someone different that I've never brought on the show before. She's actually a therapeutic pain specialist here locally in my town in the city of Kennewick, Washington. Actually, are you based in Richland or Kennewick?
No, Kennewick.
Kennewick as well. Okay, gotcha. So we're going to talk to Dr. Irene Luke today. She's a therapeutic pain specialist, but she also, has a specialty clinic that blends neuroscience basically and hands-on approach to pain and autoimmune conditions. Yay. And our topic today actually is we're going to just limit to one thing because we could talk about thousands of hundreds of things, right, Irene? But we're going to talk specifically about fibromyalgia. I actually saw Dr. Irene on a special show on the TV on the morning show. And I was like, oh, she's talking about fibromyalgia. And I wanted to bring her on be a guest on my show because of that. Ironically, fibromyalgia, you guys, was one of the first diagnoses I had before I had Lyme disease diagnosis. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and the connection of fibromyalgia and other diseases or other conditions. And I'll let Irene, of course, talk about that. But first and foremost, again, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. This will be fun. So we're going to kind of dive right in. Like I said, you're a therapeutic pain specialist. You have, 20 years you've been in the industry? Mm-hmm. 20 yeah. years. She's got incredible credentials. And so, like I said, we're going to talk about fibromyalgia. And let's just get right to it, Irene. You have treated fibromyalgia patients, obviously. Tell me a little bit, just for background information, what is the definition of fibromyalgia? What is it? Tell me about it.
So fibromyalgia is an inflammatory condition that's kind of like, it's like the catch-all diagnosis when people don't really know what to diagnose someone as. So there's all these different kinds of inflammatory conditions that we do have tests for, like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and tons of other, you know, different kind of subsets that are autoimmune conditions. But when they don't really know what's going on, they're just like, oh, you have fibromyalgia. It's the diagnosis that after everything else is negative, they just say you have fibro. Which is very frustrating sometimes because it's still something that's real. It's not just like a catch-all diagnosis. It's a very real condition. So there's inflammation that happens in the joint, but we're finding actually that there's a huge brain-body connection component. So basically the brain is stuck in fight or flight, and therefore it's making the inflammation just stick in the body, even though people can treat it from like more of a body, like tissue, organ, muscle, joint perspective. Right. I've decided to kind of approach it more from a brain body perspective.
Ooh, I love
just
that.
Because there's so much to these treated as far as like, if you can control how much fight or flight you're in, then you can control the inflammation. And so, so fibro responds the best to kind of brain training, basically. So getting out of fight or flight, calming down your immune system from that like hyper-reactive response can really be beneficial for fibromyalgia.
Okay. So I want to, just as you're saying the brain connection, instantly my brain started thinking about like with my fibro, when that started flaring up. And what happened is I had a car accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought about trauma. Yes. Right. Yep. So instantly, now that I kind of made that just now, that connection.
Yeah. And that probably was something that is like, you know, you probably had the Lyme already in your system.
Yeah.
And so it all kind of adds together, right? So you have something that's already inflaming your system, and then you have a trauma or some kind of event. And then the next thing you know, it's just like this spiral.
Right.
And so your body just keeps producing inflammatory cells. And we don't even have enough tests to really see all the different kind of inflammatory processes in people yet. So you have this low grade inflammation that is not even really seen on tests. Thankfully, you actually got your diagnosis of Lyme disease, which I think is so helpful. But some people just live their entire lives with only knowing that they have fibro, but they're not sure what to do with it. And so that's where I'm going to come in. And I walk people through this journey of understanding, okay, if you have inflammation and we can't really diagnose it, there's a lot of other more holistic, therapeutic ways that we can treat it instead of just having you on medicine. Or, you know, like some of the medicines don't work because you don't have a specific kind of inflammation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. Right. And the root, finding like what I do, the root cause, kind of find out the root of it, right? The heart of the matter. Yeah. So when I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, I went to University of Washington and they sent me there because I spent 10 years being undiagnosed and they said I had lupus and the first diagnosis was fibromyalgia, but then that kind of didn't, you know, whatever. But anyways, so they put me on gabapentin for my pain, which is at nighttime. Didn't like that so much. It wasn't great for me. I know it's out there. I know some people it works for other people, but for me, it didn't work. And so it was kind of, for me, it was like a Band-Aid, you know, and eventually the problem never went away. So I want to talk about like root cause a little bit too. Like everybody that knows me knows that I'm kind of the root cause girl. So you had mentioned that when we were first talking. And other conditions that you've seen that have been related to fibromyalgia, other connections, if you will.
Yeah. So if you have any GI issues, like so IBS, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, just even like, like acid reflux. Some people have like really severe acid reflux and they just manage it with like, you know, basically over-the-counter medicine. But that's all clues that kind of set you up for like understanding that your body is kind of in a fight or flight state. If your GI system is not doing well, then you're setting yourself up for a whole like inflammatory event, basically. Yeah. So that's what happens whenever you add on like these other conditions, right? So you can have skin issues, GI issues, just like achy joints in general, or you could be, like easily injured. Some people pull their muscles or like they hurt themselves and they always seem like they're hurting themselves. All of those are setting you up for like, all you have to do is add on like a traumatic event, like meaning like a car accident, a fall. You could even get sick and just be like, have, you know, just be recovering from a virus. And that could be enough to throw your body into a full on inflammatory event. We call that.
Yeah.
That's when you kind of have tipped the scales and you've gone into that autoimmune, basically like your body's fighting itself. And so that's what fibromyalgia really is that you've tipped the scale. Mm. The inflammation has now gotten to a point where it's too much and the body can't get out of fight or flight. And then you have that whole body aches and pains. You have an exacerbation of the GI system. You have skin issues, like everything just ramps up even more. So it all starts with these tiny little clues, but people just try to, I don't know if you have this with your clients, but I find that when I'm tracing back someone's history, I can see that they were just trying to put Band-Aids over things.
Yeah.
Years and years. Yeah. They just didn't know. Like no one taught them any other way to be. Right. And so then eventually they get to a point where they're like, oh, now I'm really in pain or I'm really having these other symptoms. Mm-hmm. And they could have caught it a lot earlier.
Yeah. Absolutely. I always go back in time. There's always, even for me, I look back in time and I'm like, oh, you know, there's these little markers, you know, that if we all step back in time that played a part. And I always talk about our bucket, how it gets full, you know, and overflowing. If the spigot at the bottom, if you imagine like a big old bucket overflowing because we're not letting the toxins out, we're not finding the root cause, your spigot or your bucket's going to overflow, right? Yeah. After time, it's just going to fill up and up and up. Yeah,
exactly.
Same is true. Yeah. Gotcha. So you're in, I guess the neuroscience end of this just fascinates me. I love science in general. I'm a science geek. So tell me about the neurology, I guess, of, you talked about a little bit about the fibromyalgia, you said the connection stuff, but so someone comes to you in chronic pain.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit how that plays out and what you do as far as the neurologist part or the neuroscience part of it.
Yeah. So first of all, I am still like, I do osteopathic medicine. So I actually do a full orthopedic exam.
Nice.
And so what's interesting about this brain body connection is that you can have clues in your muscles and in your joints that help you to know which cranial nerve is actually kind of out of whack, I call it. So, so the cranial nerves are nerves that come straight from your brain. Right. And they're a little different because they're more primitive than, say, like the nerve that's going to like your bicep muscle, right? So you have nerves that come off of your spinal cord and they go to your muscles. And those are different than the ones coming straight from your brain. The ones coming straight from your brain are meant to protect the most important processes in our bodies, right? So our breathing, our GI system, our sleep centers, everything that like is the most important comes from our brain, and those are our cranial nerves. So I basically do an exam and I see how much fight or flight someone's in based on their cranial nerves and certain muscles. So there's two muscles that I really look at, which is your upper trap muscles and your neck muscles.
Okay.
And so then I do hands-on work for like the head, neck, shoulders, because if I can get the cranial nerves to stop overactivating, we can get people out of fight or flight. So I combine that. So that's one part of my business. But then the neuroscience side that you're asking about is that you're trying to get the brain to process pain signals. So I actually have an entire program where I'm training people's brain to process pain. And so a lot of that is understanding how your body works, understanding how to do a correct body scan so that you're not focusing on these negative pain signals, but you're actually neutralizing them. Mm-hmm. And so, so that I do both at the same time. So
That's cool.
I treat the body and then I treat the brain as well.
Interesting. Okay. I totally need to make an appointment with you because there's something going on with me too. I've had this pain in my shoulder for a while and I'm like,
wonder. Well, you know, and those things are like, so exactly what you're saying are all clues, right? So I always tell people, no matter what body part is aching, it's not just orthopedic. If you have a muscle that's going on, we can always trace it back to something that's either signaling differently or something that might be related to an internal organ and I kind of blend a little bit of Western medicine with Eastern medicine. So my grandma was a healer. And so I learned a lot of acupuncture type of like different spots in the body. And so there's just a lot that I find that Western medicine can explain what people have been doing for thousands of years. And so we shouldn't just throw everything out the window just because we have modern science. I try to blend everything together. Me too. I find that there's so many benefits to like actually understanding how your body works from both sides, the science side, you know, Western science side, and then the Eastern medicine.
Absolutely. Side. Absolutely. I believe that's what got me well was the belief, both really, you know, ultimately I lean more towards the holistic side, obviously, because I believe that the body can heal the body as you know, when it's provided the right things, but yes, we need some help sometimes, right? We definitely
I
need
it. I mean, you need as many tools in your toolbox as possible.
Absolutely. Definitely. So you were talking about some of your success stories, you know, and I was looking at your sheet that you told me about, and you said one had worked with you for years, reduces pain by over 90%. That's amazing. Yeah. 90%. Only 10% pain. That's huge. So tell me a little bit about that patient. I'm just kind of curious what was going on.
Yeah. So he came to me and he had been on pain medication, some pretty heavy pain medication for, I think over a decade, maybe even over 15 years.
Okay.
And he had had so many procedures done. So like usually when people come with like mysterious pain, they've already gone through like traditional pain management, meaning like they've already been through all the different anti-inflammatory meds. They've been through nerve ablations. That's like a really common thing that doctors will do. They've done all the cortisone shots. This poor man had gone through 20 nerve ablations for multiple body parts, from neck, shoulder, like low back, thoracic spine. I mean, and the thing with nerve ablations is that we're not really treating the root of things, right? It's just like you're just trying to burn something that can give you relief. But the problem is the nerve is likely going to grow back and then you have to go and get it done again.
Yeah.
So he had just been stuck in the cycle of just having this reoccurring pain. And so we did a lot of like neuroscience brain training with him, where he was, and what I train people to do is I train them to do their own fascia release. Cause like the fascia is really different than your muscles, your joints. The fascia is actually also really primitive. So I'm training people how to pay attention to their cranial nerves. I'm training them how to pay attention to their lymphatic system and then the fascia system. And they do this all themselves. So I'm training them to be their own hands, if that makes sense. So they're not reliant
that's
on
important.
Me. They're not reliant on a massage therapist. And so we did that for like, 4 years with him. And plus, you know, I'm just coaching him through some of these, like these changes that he would have to make in his lifestyle so that he could make sure that he wasn't overdoing and pushing through and going into fight or flight. So a lot of people, when they're in pain, everything feels like fight or fight, flight. Mm-hmm. It's just like going to the bathroom can feel overwhelming, right? Because there's so much pain at times.
Right.
So just walking him through some of those more painful episodes and teaching him how to really problem solve through those activities that were hurting him. So yeah, so it took us like a few years, but he himself wanted to try to reduce his pain medicine, and we kept working at it, and he was able to reduce his pain meds by 90%, which That's is amazing. Pretty amazing when we're talking about, you know, this epidemic where people are reliant on their pain meds, rightfully so. Sometimes they just, they don't have any other choices, but he put in the work. You know, he really got to the root of things. He wanted to get off the pain meds, and he was able to, were you able to have enough training in the brain to basically create new feedback loops so he wasn't reliant on his medicine as much. So
feedback loops, you just hit a term that I've heard a couple times. Neurofeedback. I've heard of neurofeedback and feedback loops. I know what that is. We won't really get into it, but what I wanted to share with that feedback loop and retraining the brain. So one of the things, you know, going back to my journey, and the trauma and things like that is like retraining the brain to believe everyone's like, I just can't believe, you know, I'm going to just get off meds. I'm going to get off meds. No. That's not, you know, what we're talking about, but there is legitimate ways you can retrain the way the brain thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's actually what you need. If you have chronic pain, if you think about it, it's not that like, you know how some people are like, oh, if I just think positively, then I'll be okay. Well, that's not exactly how it is with chronic pain, because your body is sending signals to the brain of pure panic. So like you can't get out of it until you train yourself into a new feedback loop. Does that make sense? It's like the regular feedback loop is now just stuck in emergency mode. Yes. And so it's no one's fault, but there's not enough positive like statements that you can make that will train you out of chronic pain. You actually have to reform the feedback loop, just exactly what you're saying. Yeah. So once you have those, new signaling patterns, then your body will actually come out of fight or flight, and then you start feeling better. So it's that's probably your entire healing journey was just really just changing your whole feedback loop for yourself,
right? And it's like it's literally like rewiring, right? Cutting this wire, and putting it back together. It is, I guess, a way of saying it in your brain, but you're not really cutting your brain.
Right. But you know, you're just changing habits and patterns. And like the biggest thing is to decrease a lot of the signaling from the body is so important. People forget that the brain is not able to process all the pain signals if the body is screaming all the time, right? So what it does is it shuts down. The brain just shuts down and says, hey, I'm not going to listen to the body anymore. And it stops listening. But then the body actually starts screaming louder because the brain's not listening to it. So that's how you get this really big disconnect. Oftentimes people are like, I feel like my brain could keep going, but my body is what stops me because I'm in so much pain. I have symptoms. But that's actually bad sign that you're starting to really dissociate between your brain and body, and we have to reconnect those. So when people start saying, oh yeah, I'll just keep pushing through, I'm like, no more pushing through. We need to stop, and we have to start processing the actual signals.
Right.
And so, so that's a lot of my training is starting to like it starts with just people recognizing, hey, my body is screaming and my brain's not listening to it. And how do we connect those again?
Yeah. I want to talk about a really important topic that's very common is anxiety. Anxiety is a big deal. I see a lot of people with anxiety. I had anxiety. I had a panic attack. When I first got Lyme disease, it was because my brain was on fire. I had literally my neurons were on fire. The infection was in my brain. And so it caused my brain to just go craziness. And I had a full blown panic attacks. And I was like, I've never been anxious in my life before. So that was like an infection, if you will, that, you know, affected my anxiety. And to me, I feel like anxiety is hard. It's hard because is it technically a condition where it's, there's something wrong with me. Yes, there is, because we shouldn't be anxious all the time, but is it bacterial? Is it viral? Is it something that's a disconnect, or is, you know, what's going on with that? So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about that, about anxiety and your thoughts around that.
Anxiety is like all of those things. It could be more psychological, meaning like it's related to trauma, right? Yeah. So your literal brain waves can change. But I loved how you said it could be viral, bacterial, it could be psychological. It's all of those things. And it's usually like a mix of all of those all together, right? You know, it's like something that's happened to you as a trauma, you kind of bury it deep in your brain. And then the next thing you know, everything's fine for many years until you get an infection or a car accident. And then all of a sudden everything surfaces. And that's kind of like how a lot of people will start getting like anxiety type symptoms, is that they've learned how to hide it really well, or like, you know, just exist with their life. And then all of a sudden there's usually some kind of event, either a stressful event or a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. And then things start surfacing. But along with that comes all those inflammatory clues, right? Like they're starting to get achiness in their muscles. They start having GI symptoms, and they keep thinking in their brains, oh, they're two separate things. And that's the biggest thing I like to just remind patients, is that your anxiety manifests physically, like heart racing, tightness in your muscles, you could feel like, you know, just squeamish in your stomach. All of those physical symptoms of anxiety need to be addressed. And they shouldn't just be treated as like a mental illness. Does that make sense? It's not just mental, it's also physical. Right. And so getting to the cause, like you're saying, like either figuring out if it was viral or bacterial, but then also just taking care of your body and knowing. The biggest thing is knowing when you start ramping up towards that anxious spiral, I call it. And if you can cut it off before you start spiraling, you can make your body not go into fight or flight. So that's a huge thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that they just think, okay, the anxious thoughts are here, I'm just going to have to wait until they go away. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to. You can actually, if you listen to clues ahead of time, you can stop the anxious thoughts from taking over. And so that's why it's a blend of, what I do at least, is a blend of neuroscience plus like the physical part of it too. Because if you can stop your heart from racing, and if you can keep your muscles from tightening up, then sometimes those anxious thoughts about, you know, trauma or feeling like you're worrying about everything in life, they don't get to the same extent they're overtaking. Right. So the mental part is so tied into the physical part, and treating both of them at the same time is really important.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know, I had a patient who was, taking meds for anxiety, depression. And she said, I just feel numb all the time. Like, I don't feel like, I just feel like I'm like the, like just cruising. She's like, I don't feel what other people feel. She's like, I feel numb. I want to get off these medications, you know? And like I said, medications have a time and place for her. They did, but now she's at a point, she's like, I just feel numb. I want to feel human again. I want to feel normal.
Yeah. You know? And so that goes back to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. You want to reduce your medication or make changes, you have to change the feedback loop in your brain, right? Yeah. So basically, once you have new patterns of how your brain embodies signals, then you don't have to rely on as much. But that's not really the point of what I do. So my job isn't just to get people off medicine. My job is to offer them like a just a new solution.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, I don't know if you experience this, but so many people will say, okay, my doctor gave me this diagnosis, and then that's it. Like, if the medicines don't work, there's nothing left to do.
Yeah.
They don't have to do with me. And I realized that there's this big gap between medicine and what we can do for patients. So if medicines don't work, we need to find something else as doctors. And so I just kept looking for solutions, and that's how I landed on neuroscience, and then, doing some more hands-on stuff. So it's exactly like kind of how you're approaching it, right? Because so many people have been not able to find solutions. If their medicines don't work, we still have to figure out a good way to help solve problems.
Right.
So, yes. So I appreciate what you do a lot, because I think there's so many people that need it, right?
Yeah.
I think, like, we just see people that have been thrown away by the medical community too much. So.
Absolutely. And in defense of some of brilliant, wonderful doctors that I know and I work with, you know, and you do too, they just don't have the time. They don't have the time. Yeah, they don't have the energy. And sometimes it's outside of their scope of practice as well.
It really does take a team.
It does. And that's what I had to find. Was I had an environmental doctor diagnose me with Lyme disease, you know, and now I have actually a naturopathic doctor that actually supports me for my Lyme disease. But I also have some other wonderful doctors. I still have my PCP. She's internal medicine. I still have my team as well that supports me. And I think that's brilliant. I think it's wonderful to seek those other options, like seeking out Irene and seeking out Tavia when you need to, right? Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll wrap this up here. This has been so wonderful. There's so much more. I know we talked a little bit about fibromyalgia, then we kind of got off a little topic, but I think the gist of it was apparent. But if you're suffering from fibromyalgia, I totally understand it. If you're listening out there, and I've been there, done that, and Irene does too. So, Irene, how can people find you if they want to make an appointment with you? What's the best way to get a consultation with you?
Yeah. So actually my practice is totally full right now.
Oh, she's not taking patients.
I have a little bit of wait list, but you can go to my website, which I think you're going to link.
I will.
You know, in the but basically my practice is called Mind Door, and the website is mind-door.com. And so you can look there. And then I actually have put my program as an online program, so people can start working on brain training on their own. And so there's like a free version of it that's on my website, so they can go look that out.
That's amazing. And stay tuned, folks, because I think you're going to see Irene and I putting a program or something together real soon for everybody, because I think you and I can get some, I think there's a lot of people that can use your services and in conjunction with mine and work together. I think we could team up and do some cool things together. So
I'm excited.
That'd be fun. So, all right. Well, thank you again for so much for being on, and everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening and supporting the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast. Share this with anyone you love, share this with anybody that is suffering, and please go see Dr. Irene Luke, and get an appointment. Oh, do you do virtual appointments also? Or just
I do virtual appointments. Mm-hmm.
Virtual appointments.
And I do free consults. So 15-minute consults. So you'll see that all on the website.
And she does 15-minute free consultations. Okay, perfect. Awesome. All right. Thanks. You've heard it there, guys. Have a great one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Sweet Life Coaching Podcast. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show, please visit SweetCoachTavia.com.